Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us. The email address is godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day wherever you listen to me at. Hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, dear God, for another blessed day, another golden opportunity that you've given us to go into the Word of God. We pray today, Lord God, that your Spirit will be with us as we take this journey once again into your Word. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do in Jesus' name. I pray that everyone that seeks truth would hear this Word today, and I pray that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. So, Lord God, I thank you. I magnify you. I lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, we are on part two of section five of this series, Health, Healing, Sickness, and Disease. This titled Deliverance, Part Two. And before I go any further, I just want to say once again, to those of you that are first-time listeners, you may hear me, if you listen throughout this whole series and all sections, we hear me mention, besides the Bible, two more other books of the Word of God. And if you listen to the past episodes in this section of the series, I direct you on where to go to hear it on Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to God on the past episodes. I do want to give you the address just in case you want to order, for example, the messages that comes from the Word of the Lord book that Jesus has been sending. It's 120 messages. You don't have to order all 120. You can order, you know, whatever, how many messages you want that you may see and read it for yourself and go to the Lord for yourself. It's called 75 cents a dozen. And if you want a copy of the Record of Nephite, the book Record of Nephite, which is also the book of God's Word too, it is $8 for the book. If you want to order it, either one or both of them. The headquarters is at 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri. And the phone number is 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't reach nobody at that number, you can call area code 816-252-2343. That's area code 816-252-2343. Okay, and you can order either the Word of the Lord messages or the book, the Record of Nephi, or both. But these two books go with the Bible. Amen. And I want to just clear that up. Now, as we get ready to continue on in our series here, Health, Healing, Sickness, and Disease, Deliverance, this is part two. And in this section of the series, we're talking about the things that God has given us for our deliverance from sickness and disease that puts us in health and healing. Amen. And when I last talked to you guys on part one of this series, I was going over one of them, which is called faith. Okay. And you will hear me throughout this section of the series. I might go in one scripture on each one or maybe more than one to bring out more clarification however the Lord gives. But I was talking to you about faith, and he has given us faith. Now, faith, as I broke it down to you, what kind of faith we're talking about here, we're talking about the God kind of faith, not the doubting Thomas faith found in John chapter 20, but the God kind of faith. Amen. And so I want to pick up from there, and let's go to Matthew chapter 8. We're still talking about one of the things God has given us is this God kind of faith. Now, in this section, dealing with the things God has given us, it will be also dealing with not just spiritual side, but the natural side. We'll get on to that. Won't be on the broadcast today, but however parts it takes to get to that. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 8, and I want to look at verse 7 and 8. And this centurion sent word to Jesus by his servant had palsy. And Jesus, verse 7, gives the word to say, I will come and heal him. But in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man on authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go. And he goeth into another comet, he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, Jesus said he hadn't found so great faith in Israel. This centurion, he told Jesus, Lord, you ain't got to come under my roof. I don't even have to actually see you do it. Only thing you had to do was speak the word. See, this is another example of this God kind of faith. And my servant be healed. See, it's not like, and if you read John chapter 20, and I think I went over there with you in part one of this series, Thomas had to have, he put stipulations that had to be first in order for him to believe. He had to see me touch. That's dealing with the senses. And that's not the God kind of faith in operation. The God kind of faith in operation says, I believe because the word says it. Okay. And this centurion showed an example of the God kind of faith. Okay. He said, only thing you had to do was speak the word, Lord. That's all you had to do. You ain't got to come under my roof. Okay. I ain't got to really see you do it for me to believe that it's done. Only thing you had to do is speak the word. See, that's the God kind of faith. Example of the God kind of faith in operation. And that's one of the things God has given us, the God kind of faith. That if we would take him at his word. And see, his word tells us, as you that I've been showing in the other parts of the series, Jesus will for you to be healed, not to be sick. Amen. And this faith operates by you believing or taking God at his word or what he said. Not necessarily that you have to see him perform first before you believe. You understand it? As I said before, many people don't understand when Jesus said have faith, what exactly is he talking about? You know, they don't understand it. They think, you know, just, quote, believing. Well, it's when you believe. It's the timing. It's about you believing first, taking God, the Lord Jesus Christ, at his word. See, that's what it's about. Amen? Glory be to God. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. About this same faith, okay? Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Glory be to God. And the word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're told how to get this faith is by hearing the word of God. Not the word of Farrakhan, not the word of Hare Krishna, not the word of Allah, not the word of Mary Baker Eddy, not the word of man, but by the word of God. You get that? So when you hear the word tells us that what Jesus did for you for your healing and how it's his will for you to be healed, when you hear that word, I mean heeding it, paying attention to it. See, faith is right there, okay? See, it's a faith coming by hearing. That's constant heeding. Not listen one time and ignore it. Not hearing it today or to paying attention today and ignoring it tomorrow. It's a consistent heeding to the word. Okay? Not ignoring. Okay? Hallelujah. And see, faith is right there when the word is preached prophetically or when it's what is called a rhema word, a personal word. God may speak in your spirit. When you hear that, heed it and accept it. Faith is right there. And that's the road to your deliverance from sickness. Amen. You know, when the Bible said by Jesus Christ we heal, there are some, quote, church folks and those professing believers out there that don't accept that scripture because they say, well, you know, I will believe for so-and-so and my so-and-so still died. Amen. Well, you're not going to get no deliverance thinking that way and talking that way. It's not, you're not going to be delivered from sickness because what? That's unbelief. Amen. If you can't do like the centurion, you, me, or anyone else, you can't take Jesus at his word, you're going to miss out your deliverance from the sickness and disease. Amen. You're going to miss out on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 7 to 10. Acts chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 10. Amen. And hallelujah. Still dealing with this faith, being one of the things that the Lord has given us for our deliverance. And looking at this kind of faith and how it works. Amen. Verse 7 said, and there they preached the gospel. Who is this, Paul and Silas? And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So the Bible tells us here that this man that was crippled, the same heard Paul speak. Well, what did he speak? Well, verse 7 told you that he preached the gospel. That's the word of God. Amen. So this man heard the word. Remember Romans 10, faith coming by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he heard the word of God, okay? But there's something else about this faith that goes with hearing that has to be done in order for the deliverance to come to pass or to be so. You say, well, what is that? See, hearing is part of it, and heeding, that's part of it. But the next thing, you got to obey or put into action or be a doer of the word. Now, remember, faith coming by hearing, hearing the word of God. And remember, I told you that hearing can be either teaching, preaching the word, prophetic word spoken, a rhema word. Well, Paul perceived that this man had the faith to be healed. So Paul spoke the command of faith. So that word comes to this crippled man, and the word was stand upright on thy feet. Well, the Bible said the man never walked. So why would you tell the man to do something he never done? And then the man on his part could have said, well, I ain't never walked, man. I ain't standing upright on my feet. But see, when you are in the faith, believing the gospel, not believing so much as Paul, but believing the gospel, when that command of faith comes, you will do what? You will obey. It's the same as God giving you a personal word in the dream. If God told you in the dream what he did for you to provide for your healing, and he tell you in the dream, let's say you were having a problem like the man, and he tell you in the dream, you know what, but I want you to stand upright on thy feet. And you wake up from the dream and you remember it. Well, and you know this is the Lord. You got the faith. Well, what do you need to do? Stand upright on your feet. Well, what if you didn't do it? Well, you won't receive your deliverance. So in the faith, you got to hear, heed, accept, and then you got to put into action what you hear. Amen. You'll find that sometimes dealing with sickness, that's all that is needed. Amen. And to obey. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You hear what I'm saying? Hear the word of God and obey. Thank you, Jesus. Just like giving you another example right quick. If God spoke to you, and let's say you had a sickness going on, and God says, I'm going to heal you of this sickness. You need to stop eating so-and-so. Or stop drinking so-and-so. Okay, well, let's say you hear that word. But if you continue to eat so-and-so or drink so-and-so, guess what? That sickness will remain with you. So that part of the faith, you have to what? Obey. So you got to drink, quit drinking so-and-so or quit eating so-and-so. Because, see, some sicknesses that come and affect our bodies comes through some things that we eat or what we drink. Amen. Like, for example, and I'm going to go on further, bananas. I love to eat, would love to eat bananas, but I might get away with eating one per se, but two or more is something about whatever bananas contain that, you know, puts strong gas on my stomach or in my body to a point that it hurts me. Well, if I went to the Lord after eating them bananas and hurting like that, and God said, hey, I'm going to heal you of this, but you're going to have to stop eating no bananas. Well, guess what? If he heals me, or when he heals me, and then I keep eating no bananas, well, what you think going to happen? Amen. But for me to accept my deliverance and continue to walk in that deliverance from that thing there, I got to do what? Quit eating bananas. See, in that area, too, everybody's body not the same. Some people, they can eat bananas galore, okay? But me, you know, being bananas just, well, my body just don't agree. Okay, so, amen. Glory be to God. Now, let's look at another thing with this faith that goes with this faith, amen, that God has given us for our deliverance, okay? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's look at verse 7. Now, the second thing that the Lord has given us for our deliverance is prayer. Prayer, which is the very act are praying. Now, the word pray, according to Webster, means to make a request in a humble manner. To make a request in a humble manner. But it also means to address God or a God with adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. Okay? So when you look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, Paul says, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. And notice that Paul said, now I pray to God. So we have been given prayer that we can address God for our deliverance. Amen. Amen. The Lord didn't leave us on our own to deal with this. Or, you know, when the doctors tell you that there's nothing else we can do, that's it, give up. Well, God gave us that we can make a humble request to him for our healing. You get that? Amen. Hallelujah. See, for those of you that's listening, and the doctor pronounced that you got a sickness or disease that there's no cure, so nothing can be done. But Jesus wants you to know there is something that can be done. You can pray to him in faith. Well, let's look more along that lines on that. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And look what the word of God says. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Do you see that? When you pray, pray to who? Well, Paul told you, pray to God. Not pray to Buddha or Islam or Mary Baker Eddy, or like the Catholics say, pray to the popes. You never were told in the word of God to pray to a man for healing, especially one that's dead. You were never told that. That's not scripture. You were told to pray to God. And he said, whatsoever you desire when you pray, once again, pray to who? Pray to God. Believe. See, the believing come first. And you need belief to have faith. Believe that ye should receive them and ye shall have them. So God has given us prayer with faith. We got to pray in faith to God for our healing. And that's praying, believing the word of what it says. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he's giving us, people, you know, to pray to him in faith, believing. Amen. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 26. Let's look at another thing God has given us. It takes faith in order for this thing to be done. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 20. And the next thing that the Lord has given us for our deliverance is repentance, or repent. Now, the word repent, there's three definitions that we must remember that involves in dealing with repent. Okay. When the sickness or disease, especially when the cause of it having a hold on you, is dealing with sin, Repentance has to be exercised. And it takes faith to repent. Because when the word shows you something is sin and you committed it, you have to what? Believe the word. See, if you don't believe the word that show you that whatever act you've done or been doing is sin, then you won't repent. And if you don't repent, then guess what? The sickness or disease remains. Why? Because it has a legal right to be there. Because the cause was what? Was sin. The word repentance means the act of repenting. And the word repent has to deal with three things. Number one, it means to feel regret or contrition, to really feel sorry for that thing that is done. Number two, it means to change one's mind. You know, your mental thinking towards what you were doing was you thinking ain't nothing wrong with it. Well, you got to have a change of mind about it. Okay. And number three, which is to me, is the biggie, because this is where many of us as believers struggle at. Number three, it means to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. And notice it said to turn from sin, to turn from that very thing that you're doing, okay? Amen. So even if whatever you've done has opened the cause for this sickness to come, and even if you said, I'm sorry for doing it, I really regret doing it, or and you change your mind, you know, have a change of mind about it, if you don't turn away from the very act itself, the sickness or disease will stay there. Amen. Hallelujah. Or, for example, if it's dealing with just, an example I gave you, eating something wrong, too, is involved, too. Especially if it's something, now, here's where a sin can come at. Not so much as the banana being the thing of sin, but the very act. So if God told me, said, Nate, quit eating the bananas. And this thing has come through you eating the banana. And I turn around and I keep eating the bananas. Well, see, I might say, like if I find out from the Lord and get a rhema word from God, that, hey, the reason why this is happening to you because you're eating those bananas. Okay, I can have a change of mind about eating the bananas, or ain't nothing wrong with me eating a banana. It won't harm me. I can have a change of mind about that. I can regret eating it for what it done. But if I don't turn away from eating it, I'm going to continue to be sick from it. Now, when things are especially directly a sin, like stealing and stuff like that, if I don't turn away from the stealing, if I stole something, this opened up a door for a sickness or curse to come upon me from the curse, from the sin that I did. If I keep stealing, guess what? The sickness or disease stay there. Especially, like I said, especially those things that God has labeled as a sin. If you keep on committing the act, and this sickness and disease came because of the act, and you don't turn away from it, the sickness and disease is going to remain. They're just like, for example, sexual sins. And you can look up the different sicknesses that come from sex, but especially if you're doing it sinfully, okay? Well, if you had a sickness or disease that came from you fornicating or adultery, well, see, in repentance, you got to turn away. You got to quit fornicating, committing adultery. If you continue to keep it, what? The sickness and disease won't leave. I mean, what's the use of you saying, well, I thought it was nothing wrong with it, but I got to change your mind about it, and I regret doing it, but you keep on doing it. Well, guess what? It's going to remain, okay? Paul said in Acts 26, verse 20, he said, but showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. They had to turn to God. They had to turn away from something and turn to God. Had to turn away from idols, from devil worshiping and all that, and turn to God. Well, what if they would have said, you know, I regret, I'm sorry for the things I did and had a change of mind about it, but they continue to serve these other gods or other devils and stuff like that. What would have happened? Well, whatever happened through them through this, sin would still be there. And I did a broadcast on this one time before. That's one of the big struggles of many of us as Christians. We know that some things that we're doing is sin, and this opening door for stuff to happen to us, whereas mental illness, things like that and that nature, but we don't want to stop doing it. We like pleasing our flesh in that area. Well, if you continue to do that, ain't no need you getting mad at God. Ain't nobody fault but yours. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, I want to go to this here because connected to this repentance is this. Now, I hope that maybe you're writing these things down, because some of you, I can't remember all these things. I hope you're writing this down, because this is going to be a very much factor. If your sickness and disease are just a simple attack from the enemy, all you have to do is stand on faith and believe the word of God, confess the word, boom. But if the sickness and disease come through an open door, especially on this part besides the faith and prayer, this repentance, and now this next thing I want to go to, you really need to, any of us, you need to exercise this. Because without this, the sickness and disease ain't going nowhere. Okay? Now, the next one that God has given us to go along with this too is called confess. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, notice what he didn't say. Or what it said. He didn't say, confess that we have sinned. Now, some of you say, well, we don't need to confess that we have sinned. No, I'm not saying that. But notice that he said, if we confess our sins. In other words, the thing that we're doing, or whatever comes under the category that the word of God tells us is a sin, we got to confess that thing. See, something you got to find out, you got to confess that particular thing you've done out. Now, the word confess in the Greek, where it means to assent, A-S-S-E-N-T, to assent, that is to covenant or what? Acknowledge. And see, that's another area people struggle in too, that hinders their deliverance, because they don't want to acknowledge that thing they're doing is sin. That's why he said if we confess our sin. He just said if we confess that we have sinned. Yeah, we need to confess that we have sinned. But we need to confess our sin. Whatever that thing is you're doing that has opened up the door for sickness and disease to come on you, you got to call that thing out. Whether it's saying, Lord, I acknowledge that the fornication I did was a sin, the adultery that I did, or whoever so-and-so was a sin, you got to confess it like that. Because if that is not part of your repentance, because, see, this is connected with repentance, then that thing is still there. Now, God showed me a few years ago, the one is reason why his people don't want to confess that sin is because they want to keep doing it. They want to reap the benefits of healing, but they don't want to confess that sin. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And he said that he'll forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Okay? Got to be cleansed of that thing, because as long as that thing is not cleansed, it's still there. The sickness and disease have the right to stay, to remain there. Okay? Amen. So with our repentance, having a change of mind, expressing sorrow, and turn away from the sin, we also have to call it out for what it is. Don't think because you hiding from calling it out that everything's going to be okay. Nope, you got to call that thing out. I sin. When I fornicate, I commit adultery. I sin. When I got drunk, I sin. Okay? When you committed a homosexual act, you sin. Uncleanness, you sin. Lasciviousness, you know, didn't restrain yourself sexually, doing stuff immorally, out in the open. Sexual gestures with your mouth, your hands. Amen. You got to repent of that. You got to confess that thing, call that thing out. Masturbation. Amen. You got to call it out. Hallelujah. Lying. Got to call it out. You know, it's just like, for example, let's say if one didn't want to go to work, just didn't want to go to work that day. And they call in and say, hey, I'm not able to come to work today. I got a bad headache. Well, they may not have a headache at all. Okay? But then, all of a sudden, after they hang up, man, they got the most terrible headache, feel like a migraine plus. Well, to be delivered from that, you got to repent and say, Lord, you know, forgive me. I regret lying. And my mind has changed about it, that I shouldn't have did it. I'm going to turn away from it. And, Lord, I acknowledge that when I told my job that I had a headache and I didn't, I lied. That was sin. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to another one. This other one, too, is also connected to it because it ain't talked about much. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2. And this is another thing that's very, this is another thing. You know, there's a few things among the body of Christ that's rarely mentioned. And this is another thing right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And the next thing God has given us for our deliverance is renouncing. Okay? Renouncing. The renouncing, according to the Greek, means to say off for oneself, that is, disown. And when you disown something, Webster says to repudiate any connection or identification with. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He said, by having renounced. You got to, in breaking and deliverance from this thing that got a hold on you, you have to acknowledge and confess by your mouth and say, I break my connection or allegiance to this thing I was connected to. I break my connection with this adultery. I break my connection with this fornication. Or even if you have joined an organization that's ungodly and has opened up a door for this stuff to come on you, you say, I renounce, I break my allegiance and my connection to this organization. See, one of the things the devil don't want us to do, he don't want us to call some things out specifically. Why? Because if you don't, he gets to still work with that thing. You get that. And so therefore, he don't want us to call it out specifically, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Like I said, I hope you're writing these things down. Now, I want to go into one more thing before I stop this. to go to Isaiah chapter 58. Now, this other thing that God has given us, and, you know, some of you may hear me mention this and you may say, well, how has God given us that for our deliverance? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. Amen. Because there are some instances where you need to do this, especially, you know, in connection, in dealing with sickness and disease, having a hope, especially, you know, if you exercise faith and the things still continue to be there and be there. Okay. Isaiah chapter 58, the next thing God has given us is fast. Now, some people, like I said, they don't look at this in that way, but there is a, there, this thing can be an application to your way to deliverance. Now, in fasting, you know that it's dealing with, for one thing, to abstain from carnal delights, including your eating. Sometimes you can go on a fast where you stay away from watching TV for so long. But the first and foremost, you know, you have breaking away from food. There are water fasts. There are different types of fasts. But notice that in verse, it says, it's not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Amen. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou covered him, and that thou hide thy thyself, hide not thyself from thy own flesh. He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy see that health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Do you see that? Now he said, your health shall bring shall spring forth speedily. But first of all, notice that he said, verse 6, is not this the fast I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. Now remember in the other section of this series that I share with you in dealing with the devil's will for you to be sick, that the word of God tells us and shows us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that sickness is satanic oppression. Okay? So when he said here that the let the oppressed go free, that's what? Free you from oppression, from sickness. You get that? Amen. Now, there have been studies that show benefits physically also, say per se, from fasting. Some research I saw show that mental and physical benefits from fasting boost cognitive performance, that's dealing, I guess, with your memory, protect from obesity and associated chronic disease, reduce inflammation, improve overall fitness, support weight loss, decrease the risk of metabolic diseases. Now, that's been research proven, the health benefits in that from fasting. But I want to also show you another way this fasting can help in dealing with deliverance from sickness and disease. Now, notice that verse 8 said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Well, when you look at the word light, what you think about? What the light, let's talk about literally, what the light helper does? Well, it helps you see things. See, darkness blinds you to things. Like you go in a house, dark house, you liable to trip over something, hit into something, stomp your toe, you name it. But light helps you see things that you would not normally see in the dark. And see, sometimes you need fasting in dealing with sickness and disease, and God will give you light or the understanding that will give you understanding or even show you what the hindrance be from you being delivered from this sickness and disease. For example, sometimes there's an actual demon there. And God, through the fasting, may give you a revelation or show you that you need to come against this demon. Cast the demon out. Call him out. Or whatever's causing this sickness and disease, you may not know what it is. Well, through fasting, God may give you light to show you exactly what it is. You get what I'm saying? And see, this is one of the many neglected things in the body of Christ is fasting, because people don't want to push back the plate. Or, you know, some people, they don't want to go on a fast like from other carnal delights, like watching TV and stuff like that, spending that time they watching TV in communion with God. See, I'm talking about fasting where you spending that time communion with God, not just I'm fasting, you running out this place and that place and all that, but I'm talking about spending time with God, ministering to the Lord, getting in the Word. I'm talking about that, okay? Amen. And glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I'm talking about there. You know, give you an example. So I get ready to close for the fasting revelation. Now, this one pertains to sickness and disease, but I'm just want to share with you how revelation can come through that. Back in the year 2000, I was working at a place called Fleetwood Homes, and you know, I was working there, but I also was able to minister to a few people about the Word of God there. And see, sometimes there come a place and time in your life where you know that you're coming to an end of being in a place. And I felt like that, or was sensing that I had come to an end of being there, that my era of time in that place was about to be up. Have been ministering to people, and then sometimes now it got to the point when you minister to the same one, you start seeing that they weren't for real. Maybe at one time it was, but now they're not. And so I'm sensing, like, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, now, you know, it's time for me to go. You know, the whole thing, the whole scene there just, I don't know, it just indicating to me that, you know, it may be time to move on. And so one weekend I decided to fast. So on that Saturday, I did 9 hours. I went from 6 to 3. And the next day, Sunday, I went 8 hours from 6 to 2. Well, you know what? That Sunday night, I was given a dream. Now, I have been given a dream before about going to a workplace, and I would just show the place. But in this dream, I was actually told the place. And I was actually given some extra information that I didn't know, which come out to be. And now I'm still working at this place, which is HANA. So God showed me through that, you know, fasting. I just did it for 2 days. Now, some of you said, well, how long do I need to fast? Well, that's according to, you know, the Lord and you and the Lord. Do you have to go on long, long fast to get this revelation? No, you don't. You know, God may answer you in a day. He may answer you in 2 days. He may show you in 3 or 4 days. Okay. Now, some of you said, well, I'm not used to fast. How long? Well, if you can go an hour, do an hour each day. Remember that hour now, you're going to spend that whole time in the Word, praying to God, ministering to God, that hour. Not running around, going to the post office, going here, you know, not all that, okay? Amen. Glory to God. So, I'm going to stop it there today on the things that gave deliverance. I pray that I gave it in a way that it would be pleased unto the Lord and helpful to you that's listening. But we need to know these things because, see, people, it's going to tighten up in this day and time. I'm telling you, this is, you know, I believe one of the reasons why God has given me to do this whole series is because to warn his people that what's about to come, listen, it's going to get to a point. More of your insurance companies going to start dropping medicine you were dependent on. The doctors, you know, you get behind on the bill, they're going to be like, hey, we can't see you today. You got to pay the bill off, all of that, okay? Now, I'm just letting you know the truth. So you won't give up and just die and think that there's no help. Jesus wants you to know that there he is. Amen. See, medical science says if we don't have the antidote for you, there's no help. Now, my question is, who you going to believe, the Word of God or man? You know, I thank God for doctors, but doctors are not God. See, many of us got to start saying it to ourselves. They're not God. We have treated doctors like they're God. And in some instances, we're treating them like God, like they're God, and we have disrespected them.
But then others, we are treating them like God, and we overall have disrespected God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we have disrespected him. Because when he, that's the greatest disrespect, people. Because when he has spoken his word, and then the doctor spoke a word, we have taken the word of the doctor over Jesus. As if he don't know what he's talking about. Jesus didn't have no surgical hands per se, surgical tools in those days. He spoke the word, lay hands on stuff like that. That was it. Okay? See, men have to perform surgery stuff. They got to cut you open and all this stuff. And I ain't trying to be funny or vulgar when I say this. They got to cut you open. Okay? And then other things can happen while they're doing the surgery. Okay? And I'm not trying to cast a scare. I'm just letting you know the shortcomings dealing with men. But see, with Jesus, it ain't like that. Ain't no shortcomings with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the written word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit and power, the Holy Ghost. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord God, I thank you for all those who have been listening. And I ask that you will watch over them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back tomorrow with part three of Health, Healing, Sickness, and Disease, Jesus Will. Okay. Look for the advertisement tomorrow. So, I know this has been another odd time. And before I go off, some of you, well, have you gone away from 7 o'clock completely? No, I haven't, but there have been certain things come up that I've been doing at different times, forgive me, but I still want to get the word out to you all and not just miss the whole time because certain things come up, but don't worry, 7 o'clock, I will be back to that. So once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.